As we continue our survey of the book of Romans, we're in chapter 3 tonight. We'll read verses 21 through 31, and we're going to change topics as we go into verse number 21. If you would, let's stand for the reading of God's word one more time this evening. Verse number 21 says, "But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifest, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace, for the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has sent forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past, through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say, at this time his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus." Amen. Where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law? Of works? Nay, but by the law of faith. Therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Is he the God of the Jews only? Is he not also of the Gentiles? Yes, of the Gentiles also. Seeing it is one God which shall justify the circumcision by faith and the uncircumcision through faith. Do we then make void the law through faith? God forbid, yea, we establish the law. Father, thank you tonight for the blessings that we've already received and the hymns, Lord, and the special music. Thank you, dear Lord, that we have won in Jesus Christ, that we have victory in Jesus. Lord, thank you tonight for the Bible that declares that as well. Lord, that we do have victory in Jesus, that we have been justified by Christ, our propitiation. And Lord, I just pray now that you would use your word tonight to encourage Christians. I pray that you would bless tonight and strengthen us, Father. And may the doctrine of salvation and the doctrine of being justified further cement our assurance of salvation, further give us confidence to serve you, Father. And Lord, I pray that you be honored tonight. And we pray this in your name. Amen. You may be seated. We have been discussing the last several Wednesday nights the survey of Romans, and we've been talking about the last several Wednesday nights God's condemnation. And chapter 1 through chapter 3, for the most part, deals with the wrath of God being revealed. So tonight we switch topics, and we switch now to God's salvation. Romans chapter 3 to almost chapter 8 deals with God revealing his salvation and the righteousness of God being revealed to us as people. And so tonight we're going to look at that, God's salvation. And the first point we want to look at tonight is this. Salvation is free. Amen for that. Salvation is free. Salvation is not cheap, but it's free. And so we're going to look at some thoughts tonight about salvation being free. We're going to look at two main points tonight. The first point that we'll look at tonight is God's plan of salvation is revealed. We spend the next few verses looking at how that God reveals his plan of salvation to fallen man. Then we'll spend a little bit of time tonight, Lord willing, on God's plan of salvation is righteous. And we'll look at those two points tonight under the heading salvation is free. So let's look first of all tonight at God's plan of salvation is revealed. Man stands before God guilty of being a sinner and condemned of their sin. And so not only are we sinners by nature, but we're sinners by choice. We stand before God. We are not righteous. Man is not righteous. But according to the Bible, man is dead in trespasses and sins. To be saved now, a man must be justified. We have to come to a place before God that we're justified if we're going to be saved. Somebody has to remove the guilt from us and take away the guilt and the sin. We find now what a great verse we find in verse 21 as the Bible lays out the deeds of man and our flesh. In fact, verse 20 says this. There, we look through verses 9 through 18. It describes now the frailty of man and man's condition as a sinner. And then we read verse 21, "But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested." So I thank the Lord for that little phrase. I have had to underline it in my Bible, the first two words, "but now." You know, Paul is famous for that in his writing.
Paul, oftentimes in his writing, he writes and he brings about the darkness of man and our circumstances. He paints this ugly picture of a condition that we're in. And then he concludes with, but now, and reveals unto us God's glory and God's power and salvation. In fact, if you want to look at a couple tonight that I think is especially helpful, Romans chapter 6, we read in verse number 20 what the Bible says about man's condition, and then the words, but now. Romans 6:20 says this, for when ye were the servants of sin, ye were free from righteousness. All right, so that explains our plight of Romans chapter 1 through 3. That when we were servants of sin, we were free, we had no righteousness. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof you are now ashamed? So I like that question. Paul oftentimes wants us to see doctrine and truth by asking questions. And sometimes you can do a lot of good by just telling somebody something, ask them something. And they have to draw the conclusion out themselves. Paul says this, he wants us to understand, when you lived in their nature, in your natural state, as a sinner, before salvation and before being born again, when you were the servants of sin by nature and by choice, and you lived for sin, you lived for self, what fruit had you in those things? He's saying, how did that life make your life better? How did the living for self make your life better? And so tonight I'm going to have to ask ourselves the question, hey, how has Hollywood made your life better? It must make somebody's life better than making millions of dollars. How has drink made your life better? What fruit do you have from getting drunk? What fruit is there? What fruit do you produce? What do you have to brag about that wouldn't be a shame? We can talk tonight about all different vices. When you lived in bitterness, when you lived in anger, what fruit did you have from being angry all the time? How did it make your marriage better? How did it help your children? Hey, when you lived in fornication, what fruit does fornication have? What could it benefit you? And so, of course, the answer is, if you're honest, the answer is none. It didn't bring us any fruit but misery. So we find here in verse number 21, it says, for the end of those things is death. Verse number 22, but now, being made free from sin, become the servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness and the end of everlasting life. So Paul wants us to compare our lives before and after salvation. He said, when you weren't saved, you lived for self, you lived as a slave to sin, you had no fruit, nothing to brag about. We couldn't take one thing about our life and brag and say, because of my bitterness and my anger and my unforgiveness, and because of my poor attitude and my hatred and because of my malice, my life was so good. We couldn't say because of the sins of the flesh. Because of fornication or adultery or idolatry or living for greed and for money, my life was so good. But now he said, now you got saved. Jesus Christ destroyed the master of sin. Sin no longer has dominion over you. You can't no longer say, I can't help it. A lot of Christians want to say that. We want to say, well, I can't help it, or blame somebody else. But the Bible says, now that you got saved, you're no longer a servant to sin, but a servant to God, and you made service to God, and your fruit now. What about your fruit now? But now, what about your fruit? And think about what God has done for your life. The fruit of the holiness. What a blessing to go to bed at night without feeling guilty or ashamed of yourself for the day. Waking up in the middle of the night or waking up next morning feeling ashamed of what you did the night before. Hoping that nobody finds out and says a secret. Thank God tonight what God has done in your marriage and changed your marriages and able to serve God and be able to come home and realize, you know, today I did the best I could for Christ and my life for Christ mattered. It mattered what I did for Christ. And what a blessing it is to feel your life has purpose and meaning now in Christ Jesus and that you belong to Him. And so I like that but now phrase. Look with me at Romans chapter 7 and verse number 5. It says, for when we were in the flesh, the motions of sin, which were by the law, to work in our members to bring forth fruit unto death. There's that death again. But now, God says, but now we are delivered from the law. That being dead wherein we were held, that we should serve in newness of spirit and not in oldness of the letter. So now we realize again that, but now we are dead. We are delivered from the law. We're not delivered from doing right. We're delivered from its condemnation. The law said, they must die. But we've been delivered from that. Look at me at one more. Look in Ephesians chapter 2. Again, there's a bunch. If you have a search engine in your computer or a Bible program, just type in the phrase "but now," hit phrase and search that out. And there's a lot of "but now." You could preach a long time on the phrase "but now." Ephesians chapter number 2, and we look at verse number 11. Wherefore remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision, by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope without God in the world. And so we were Gentiles. That's our position by nature. And of course, we were called Gentiles by the Jews. They called us Gentiles. We weren't part of that family. We weren't part of that commonwealth. We were strangers and we had no hope without God. Verse 13 then says, but now in Christ Jesus, ye who are sometimes were afar off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Speaking of the Gentiles again, speaking of you and I, one time we were afar off, but now in Christ we've been made nigh. Verse 14 says, for he is our peace, who hath made both one, hath broken down the middle wall partition between us. And so we find out what we once were, but now because of Christ, but now. So I want to encourage you tonight, think about just a few years ago where you were. Think about where you were before you were saved. Sometimes we get discouraged in this life, and we get a little bit weary in well-doing, and part of this because we have sometimes, I'm going to take a rabbit trail here for a moment, we have sometimes expectations that don't get met. You know, most Christians that get mad at each other or mad at God is because they have expectations that somehow God didn't meet or we didn't meet. And all of a sudden we begin to think that our life is just tragic event after event, when really, comparatively in history, America's have a pretty easy Christian life. We don't have it as hard as we think we do. And we can go back just a few hundred years ago and find out where some folks really had some things to deal with. And so, but think about it now, what you once were before, listen, before you get discouraged and say, I'm going to throw in the towel and I'm going to quit and just live for myself. You did that one time. How'd it work out for you? That's why you got born again. Because you were living for yourself. You were living in sin. And you remember back then there was no hope and there was no help. And you went to bed at night discouraged and empty and lonely. Went to bed at night brokenhearted, waiting for somebody to rescue you. And Christ did. But now he's changed you. Don't go back to the vomit. Don't go back to the vomit. Don't be a pig that goes back to the mire, the dog that goes back to the vomit. And so if that life is, listen, by the way, young folks, look up here, look up, I would do a Tony Hudson, look up in here. If that lifestyle has never benefited anybody you know, why would you run to it? Come on. And I said, well, you know, well, preacher, we all got to experience life, but you can be smarter than the average bear. And you can look around and say, you know what, that life didn't help my mom and dad. That life didn't help my brothers and sisters. That life didn't help other folks I've watched. And it sure ain't going to help me. And so what fruit have you had in those things? You can't find any fruit. Hey, listen, go downtown and talk to the drug dealer. Hey, you got any fruit? Go downtown and talk to the prostitute that's brokenhearted and used and thrown away and rejected by society. Where's her fruit? Where's his fruit? Ask them where the fruit is at. Then why don't you repeat that lifestyle? When God has set you free, when there is a but now in your life, when you can look back at a time in your life, whether it's in our school or our church or in your home somewhere with your mom and dad or in a revival meeting, you can look back and you say, there's a time in my life, there was a but now. Then why go back again? Stay on this side of but now, where there's fruit and there's happiness and there's holiness and God can bless and use you. I hate to listen. And by the way, young folks, don't think that somehow you're the only one tempted. Every person in this room tonight is tempted to go back to an ungodly lifestyle, tempted to go back and quit serving God. But what keeps us here is that we know as adults, and we know as being mature, that there is no life in the before salvation. And that true happiness is after the but now. That's what keeps us here. Not because we're spiritual, not because we're special, not because we're better than anybody else, but by the grace of God, we stay on this side of but now. Because we know there's nothing back here at all. I don't want to go back. I don't want to go back. My flesh wants to at times. When I get tired. Sometimes I get tired. You know, I'm driving home and I'm tired and the phone calls. There's someone with a super problem. Someone with a problem. I don't want to make light of your problems. But sometimes it does seem pretty minuscule compared to life and the big picture. But that's what God's called me to take care of a little bit. And so I'm having but sometimes I'm like, you know what? There's got to be something better than just always being worn out. But there is no better life than the Christian life. You know, I've never, and I know I'm repeating myself a little bit tonight, but I never have met anybody who says this. You know what, preacher? I've been a Christian for 30 years, and I sure regret it. I never met anybody who says, I regret being a Christian. You know, I never have met anybody that says, you know, preacher, I'm a Christian, and I regret having standards. I regret now on my deathbed, I regret not drinking. Boy, I wish I'd have drank as a Christian. You know, I never met anybody in the deathbed said, you know, preacher, I regret being faithful to my wife. I wish I had a hoard around. I never met anybody that way. I never met anybody that said, you know what, preacher, I'm about ready to die, and I wish as a teenager I just would have been a whore. Would have been a whoremonger and just gave myself to anybody and everything. Never met anybody. But I did talk to my dad as he was dying. He told me this. He said, son, I wish I'd have stayed married to your mom. I wish I'd have stayed in church. I wish I'd have done right. I'm not trying to be unkind or ugly to anybody. I just watch in the Word of God and watch what God has done for us. I thank God for the but nows in my life. And I don't want to spit in God's face and say, God, I don't appreciate the but nows. I want to be mindful and thankful of the but nows that God has in my life. What I used to be, what God has done. By the way, I pray that there's some more but nows in my life. I want some more but nows. But now, look at where God has placed us. But now what God has done for us. Think about our church family. Think about what we have been through before I got here and when Brother Bob was here and others. Think about what the church has been through. You know, and I'm not saying that we've arrived, but there are some but-nows that we've experienced as a church. There are some but-nows. You know, but now we went out and had a very personal seed campaign and seen people get saved. But now we've seen some things take place. But now we've got a school and we've had a school and we keep on seeing people's lives impacted by our school. And by, see, but preacher, there's been some who has not been, I understand that, but there's been a lot of but-nows where people have been helped because of that. Think about the revivals and jubilees that we've had. Yeah, we've seen some folks come to the altar and never see them again. But we've seen a lot of folks come to the altar and have their life changed. There's not a lot of but nows. So don't discount and forget the but nows that God has in your life. Thank God for that. I like the but nows. I also want you to see tonight that, maybe it's up here. Salvation is not a product of human reasoning or effort. Salvation is God's plan from the very beginning. And it's revealed by the world, and it's revealed to the world by God. I want to encourage you tonight that salvation, the but now in your life, that was God's plan for you. God worked that out for you. Watch this. The Bible says, for as much as ye know that you were not redeemed, but with corruptible things such as silver and gold, from your vain conversation, received by tradition from your fathers. Think of that verse for a moment here. We're not redeemed, we're not saved, we're not bought back, we're not been purchased with silver and gold. God calls those things corruptible. Be careful what you place as a value in your life that God calls corruptible. Don't be living just for money. put money first. God said that's corruptible. And then he says that before we got saved, he calls our life, now some of you won't like this because you don't like hard preaching, but God calls your life vain, empty. You had a vain conversation, you had a vain life, you had an empty lifestyle. And if you don't think it was empty, then tell me what the fruit of it was. I mean, let's just be honest tonight. That's what the Word of God. The Word of God takes off the gloves and starts punching where the flesh is at, where sin's at. And so we look back at our flesh and we look back at our life, and God says before salvation, it was vain, it was empty, it was worthless, it meant nothing. But he says now that we're redeemed with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish, without spot. So here's our Redeemer. Christ is our Redeemer who fairly was foreordained for the foundation of the world, was manifest in these last times for you.
Amen.
Salvation, let me tell you something. Salvation, God's plan of salvation being revealed to man wasn't plan B.
Right. Amen.
God didn't say, Gabriel, Adam and Eve in the garden sinned. Now what are we going to do? Back to the drawing board. That was not, listen, there was no plan B. God said before the very foundation of the world was formed that he foreordained that Christ would be that spotless lamb without blemish, slain for the foundation, for our sins and for your sins and for man's sins, that he would redeem us by Christ, our Savior. That was God's plan. So when even Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, God didn't say, oh, no, surprise, what am I going to do? God said, all right. He said, it's begun. It's on. God's plan of salvation, begin to place, we get put to work, and he told Adam and Eve, there's coming a Messiah. Amen. Coming a Messiah who will crush the head of the serpent. Bruises, he'll crush his head. And so we find here that God said that he foreordained this, so he foreordained it for you. Listen, God is not just a God of the masses. Or the mast. God is the God. He's your God. He's personal. God doesn't die for the numbers. God died for the people. He died for the person. He died for the individual. Not only when God, not only when Christ was here in his earthly ministry, not only when he preached and redeemed the masses and the crowds, but he would stop what he was doing and he'd reach out to the individual. He would leave and he would go to a whole different country just for one person. He would go to where he wasn't welcome, go to where they were despised and rejected. He would go there for one person. Why? Because his redemption was manifest in these last times for you. Now, listen, if God was a Calvinist,
right,
he'd only manifest his salvation to some people. But he manifested it for everybody. For you. For you. And so this is God's plan of salvation being revealed to all mankind. Why? Because we are sinners. We're sinners and we need a Redeemer. Tonight, I want to ask you tonight a question as we come to an end here for this evening. Is there a but now in your life? Can you look back and say, you know what? There was a me that was living in the flesh, a servant of sin, but in my life I can point to a but now. God saved me. God saved me. By the blood of his Son, Christ Jesus, he saved me. Tonight, there's no but now in your life, then you're not saved. Listen, look up here. It's not enough just to know he died for you. The devils know. They tremble. But is there a but now in your life? Have you received Jesus Christ? Think about that for a moment. If the devils believe, what's the difference between their belief and your belief? The difference is, the devils have rejected Jesus as King and Lord and Master. And when a person gets born again, they receive Christ. They respond to that Lord's waking and the Lord's work in their heart and their life. They respond and they get born again. They believe with their hearts and they call upon Christ to save them. Is there a but now in your life? Preacher, he said, but preacher, I've been in church a long time. In fact, I've been in a couple of churches for a long time. Wonderful. But is there a but now in your life? Then if there's a but now in your life, listen, if there's not a but now in your life, make tonight a but now.
Yeah.
See, that's Wednesday night. We got to go home and get to work tomorrow. There's no, listen, today is the day of salvation.
Right.
You're not guaranteed another moment, another day.
Right.
So if there's no but now, look up here. If there's no but now in your life, make tonight a but now. And if there has been a but now in your life, can I encourage you?
Yes.
Be thankful and don't go back. Can I encourage you, moms and dads, you young couples, don't go back. Don't go back. Don't use something that gets taken. Don't use something that happens at church for reasons to go back. Don't use hard preaching or something that's been misspoken or something that somebody else did as a reason to go back before the but now. Don't use the reason of your expectations not being met to go back. Young folks, tonight, if you've been raised in a godly home and your parents have fought for you to help keep you clean and pure and out of the misery of this life, and out of the vomit of this life and the mire of this life, and you've been born again, don't go back. Don't try it. There's no reason to try it out. There's no reason to experience it. You say, well, preacher, I just want to have a good testimony. You got a good testimony. You don't have to have some type of ruined life to have a good testimony. Sometimes we as Christians, we do the wrong thing by promoting people that have rotten testimonies. And we think that we have to be, you know, to be used of God, you have a rotten testimony. No, to be used of God, you need to have a good testimony. What these people sometimes fail to say is with these rotten testimonies, that these lives of sin and misery, what they've forgotten to tell you is that somehow that they don't always reach their potential that they had before in Christ. Hey, there are some things that I'll never accomplish in my life or never do because of some of my wanderings before, but now. I really believe that. So you don't have to have some kind of screwed up testimony to somehow honor God. You can honor God with a clean testimony. Live for God in after the but now. So please don't go back. Don't go back. You moms and dads, don't get scribbled when I get to preaching hard about some of that stuff. I don't want your kids to go back. I think moms and dads ought to amen the preacher to death. It's better than sitting here sometimes and getting a little bit humbled than to get destroyed out there in the world where there's no mercy and no care and no help. So tonight, I preach tonight because it's the word of God, and I preach tonight because I love our church. And I want us all to have a but now and not go back. Amen. That wasn't on the list tonight, but I've enjoyed it. And I'm thankful tonight for the but now. And amen. Father, thank you tonight for loving us. Thank you, Lord, for the but nows in our life. Let's all sing together. As the piano begins to play the invitation song, tonight you become what you come.